Hey guys, welcome to the Mom Voice. This is Lauren and Sarah with episode 35.
The spine chilling edition.
Ooh.
Halloween is upon us.
I know, big week.
Oh my goodness, such a big week. And we just thought it would be the perfect time and opportunity to delve into our crime loving selves,
right? Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
We are those crime junkies, just like all the good podcasts out there. We like love a good story.
It's so true. We love our SVU and our Law and Order.
Dateline every weekend.
I know, it's so true. So before I get to the rundown, let me just first say thank you to everybody who's listening. And if you do enjoy the show, hop on over and give us a rating and review. It really helps us get seen by other listeners and promote the podcast. We really appreciate the mention. And if you have anything fun to say, we might even mention it on a future episode.
Absolutely.
You never know. And make sure you subscribe. All right, well, let's get into what we are talking about. So we're going to start off with some like fun Halloween facts. And the point here is really like some fun things you can share with your kids
that
maybe you didn't know, right?
Yes.
So we're going to hit you with some of those. And then as I was kind of researching for this episode, I came across a lot of really bizarre laws that are out there across the United States.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear these because I mean, I do hear a kind of weird stuff and I can't get over it.
Oh my gosh, it kind of blew my mind. I was like, what? I kept being like, no, what? No. So get ready for that. And then I think we have to talk about how you met your husband.
I know. Halloween's kind of a special, you know, time for us. So yeah,
we're going to hear that story.
Yeah,
hopefully.
Absolutely.
We're packing a lot in here.
I know.
And then
we're going to plow through.
I know we are. And then we are going to tell our scariest,
some creepy stories.
Creepiest story.
Yeah.
Yours happens to be my
husband's story. It is spine chilling every time I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of a creepy family experience they had.
And then mine is about a like unsolved murder. Well, they think it's a murder, an unsolved disappearance that happened in my small town of Gilmer, Texas, back in 1992. And if you're around East Texas, you have heard of Kelly Wilson, and it has been on Dateline and every single crime show
you can
imagine.
I can't wait to hear more details about this.
So I'm going to tell you about the Kelly Wilson disappearance, and it's super interesting. So, and then we're going to wrap it up with the hit and miss
of
the week. Okay, well, let's just jump right in. Fun facts. Okay, well, first of all, did you know the main colors for Halloween are orange and black? Did you know where they come from?
No, I totally know.
Okay, so orange obviously comes from being the color that's associated with fall, right?
Okay.
And like the
pumpkins,
harvest.
Yeah.
And black is because it's associated with death and darkness.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre.
It's just, right.
I know. I'm not going to go into like why Halloween is what it is. But long story short, it was brought over here by immigrants to the U.S.
Yes.
And it didn't really gain popularity, which shocked me, until like the 1920s.
Oh, really?
Isn't that crazy?
All Hallows Eve? Is that kind of like...
It developed off that. Like, you can go read about it, but it was super interesting. And it started off actually as more of like a trick holiday. Like not...
like an April Fool's Day type thing?
Yeah, like, but like kind of mean-spirited. Mm-hmm. Like you would kind of do...
Literally.
Yeah. And I guess back east, from what I've kind of read, is they still have a lot of problems with like pranks and like really... tricksters, you know.
Well, remember we were just even mentioning there was like 2 or 3 years ago with the clown thing.
Yes.
How that got kind of carried away and they were like causing lots of trouble, or like, I can't even remember. Were they like hurting people or just causing problems in wearing clown costumes?
You know, I don't remember.
It was creepy. That was weird.
They were not like haha clowns.
Oh no, they were like the it clowns.
Murder
and they would
clowns.
Like be out around the neighborhoods, and it was like a thing for a while.
Yeah.
That was creepy.
Bizarre. And then funny enough, It said that Halloween, well, first of all, Halloween is the biggest grossing holiday after Christmas.
Okay, yeah, for sure.
And I think last year it brought in $8 billion.
Oh, interesting.
With a B.
Wow.
Yep. Halloween is the third biggest party day after New Year's Day. And what do you think the second one is?
St. Patrick's Day.
Super Bowl day.
Super Bowl, really?
Yeah,
okay,
that's number
two.
And then lastly, I'm just going to tell you how trick-or-treating came about. It started out in the Middle Age over in Europe. Yep.
Really?
It's been around that long.
Oh my gosh.
In Europe. And it's when the poor people of the time would dress up in costumes and go door to door begging for food and money in exchange for like, you know, prayers
or something.
No, but they say they would like do dances or like little skits or something trying to get money and food essentially. So that's where the costumes and the trick-or-treating, what we do now, kind of evolved from. Isn't that funny?
Well, and that makes sense. Like totally. Peasants just begging for something, a treat or food at all.
So bizarre.
Wow.
I know.
Interesting.
I thought that was so weird.
No, those were really good.
And there really are like so many crazy facts about Halloween that you should just go read. I'm not going to beat you down with them here. But yeah, you need to go read up on it. It's kind of funny. Okay, let's get into the weird laws. So first of all, okay, if you live in Bellevue, Illinois, you are not allowed to wear a mask at all if you're over the age of 12 years old.
Over the age of 12?
That's it.
Oh,
you
wow.
can face up to 6 months in jail.
Oh my gosh.
Can you believe that?
Well, and that's funny because I feel like a lot of like the teenagers, that's all they do is like throw on a mask and pretend they're, well, not pretend, but like be trick-or-treaters when they're 14, 15, 16.
No, totally.
So that's interesting. I wonder to discourage them or.
I don't know. So if you're caught over the age of 12 with a mask on,
that's
you're going
intense.
To jail or you're paying some money.
That's intense.
And it's the same in Walnut, California that you can't have a mask on. I don't know why. Yep. Okay. So in, I don't know how to say this city name, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, trick-or-treating is illegal if it falls on a Sunday.
Wow.
What? I was like, how do they do that?
Well, you know, I heard the other day from some other moms that some places are trying to legalize Halloween on the last Saturday of the month.
I love that.
Not even the 31st, the last Saturday of the month, depending.
I love that idea.
Because, you know, when it's a Tuesday night and you have to go to school the next day, it's just kind of crazy.
Oh my gosh.
I wonder if places are having success with that and how you even go about that. But that's a good idea.
Oh, I love that idea.
I know.
I just thought that was crazy.
Is crazy. A Sunday. That is really interesting.
Yeah. I wonder if it's like one of those really old like settlement laws that when they were
or
super religious.
A very
back
religious
in the settlements.
Like, community. Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. The next one is in Hollywood, California.
Oh.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
The specific quote of the law is, "You are not allowed to possess, use, sell, or distribute silly string."
October 31st. Silly string, really? Oh my gosh.
That's a bizarre law.
That is really bizarre.
Right?
No, it is such a pain and it's such a mess. And it's like that fizzy, like you get like the little squirts and it's like wet and it's like, ugh.
Oh my gosh.
But
well,
that's hilarious.
It made me think, okay, what happened in Hollywood that led
them
to making
it? No, seriously, illegal. Oh my gosh.
Super bizarre law.
That's crazy.
The last one I have for you here is in the state of Alabama, you are not allowed to dress up as a clergy, a rabbi, a nun, pretty much a religious leader of any type.
Oh, yeah. I can kind of respect that. Like, it's so crazy how to reinforce this. Like, could you imagine like policemen rolling around? Oh my gosh, there's a priest over there. You're under arrest. Like, that's crazy.
Well, and I just don't know how I feel about government telling me what I can and can't wear.
That's true. Kind of, especially religion and state there for sure.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. I mean, I don't know.
So anyway.
But didn't you also say there was one about a curfew too? Like there's curfews.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of curfews.
Like not to be trick-or-treating past a certain time.
Yeah, totally.
And I mean, I get that too, but like that's interesting.
I think it's around like noise and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But when I was looking up weird laws, there's like most, I would say 80% of them are like a curfew.
And even Emma over at the Momcast had shared there was a community trying to make a law for an age. Like you cannot trick or treat beyond the age of 11 or something like that.
I think it was 14.
And I was like, crazy. Oh my gosh.
I know. Which I mean, I kind of get it because.
Oh yeah, of course.
There is nothing more than like, it is such a beat down because your little kids, like, you know, they're excited.
They're
like,
so excited.
It's dusk and like, they're like coming up to the thing. And then it's like 9 o'clock before the teenagers come rolling
Start
out.
Rolling in and
you
a group of 7, 16 year olds roll
and
in
like,
and you're like,
really? Do you feel like a loser right now?
I know.
Like,
it's kind of, yes. At that point, I think you're watching a scary movie with friends or you're doing haunted houses or you're starting to go to parties.
Or like man the candy.
Yeah.
And have fun with it.
Oh, kids love to do that. My kids would almost rather do that. that sometimes than totally. Trick-or-treat. They think that's so cool.
Like, scare the crap out of the little kids. Yes, you know what I mean? Agreed.
Right. So fun.
So anyway, okay, well...
Those are great. I love that, though. It's so interesting. What it's so different everywhere you go.
Weird enough, I found none in Arizona. So,
oh, that's good. There's that. We're just standard. Well, that's good. We're just like right there in the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
All right. Well, like I told you, we have to hear your story about how you met your husband.
I know. Halloween
I was
is,
there.
I know. You were totally there. Sarah and I have always loved Halloween. Yeah. I love Halloween. Yeah, obviously, yeah. We've talked. We have lots of funny traditions and stories, haunted houses, her birthday. But we always had this one big costume party kind of for like, I don't know, just young people, yeah. you know, college kids, church kids that we'd always go to. It was a big dance party. And
what was it called? Where was the place?
It was called Rockin' Our Ranch. I think we might have even mentioned that. Recently. I don't know.
Did we?
I don't know. I feel like I mentioned it maybe.
Oh, I don't think so. But yeah.
Rockin' Our Ranch is this like little like Western town village.
So
where,
cheesy.
Yeah. Venue that they'd rent out to hold the party at. So we had gone a few years before and it was like an annual thing. And actually, funny enough, this year I'd gotten my tonsils out probably, I don't even know, October 27th, 28th. And so here comes Halloween and I'm like still kind of on the mend.
Oh my gosh, I forgot
and
that.
I was like, no, we're going out. Like I have to. I probably like popped my painkillers in and was like, no, we're going.
Was this?
And I probably sounded something like this, still kind of hoarse and raspy back then.
Was this the year you were a hippie?
Yeah, I was a hippie. Cute. You were disco?
I was like a 70s
like
retro 70s girl.
Retro. Yeah, retro. Yeah. That's what, yeah. And our one other friend was with us. She was a pirate. And yeah, no, we were just excited.
We were
to go
on the hunt. On we were out to meet
to
some
meet
men.
People. And we met up with some other friends. We love to dance. So we totally. Go to this big party and I feel fine. But I think it's so funny that I know I talk about this every week, but my voice is still not quite recovered. And I probably honestly sounded kind of like this kind of hoarse. And we were dancing. I said, Sarah, I'm gonna go get a drink. I go over to get a water bottle and they have this like trough of waters, and this guy was there. We can't help but laugh because he was dressed up as like a construction worker, but he was shirtless with just suspenders, you know, attached to his cut off jean shorts.
Super cut off.
Cut off. Yeah, like we won't discuss how short those shorts were. And he had a good body. I was like,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And he had what do we call it? Hard hat. A hard hat, like, you know, the working hat on with like a bandana and his boots. And he was just kind of
on his shirtless body. Yeah. A bandana, suspenders.
So short
dying.
Shorts and no shirt. And he was there, and I think I had just like grabbed the last water, and he was like, oh, dang it, no more waters. I'm like, I think I like jokingly was like, I'll give you a drink of mine or something. He's like, no. And so we started talking, and honestly, off the top of my head, I cannot even remember what we talked about.
Yeah.
I do know I sat down, I was drinking the water. I was probably just like in and out on my, you know, painkiller. No, I'm kidding. But I was like, I did say, oh, I just got my tonsils out. So I, you know, not. Can't don't sound too great. And then I remember also asking him, and it obviously was my husband George. Here I am meeting him, never like through nobody. It was just by chance we started chatting.
Yeah.
It wasn't like we had no mutual friends that night. Started chatting, and I remember I did ask him, oh, so do you have like Facebook? Because this is like 2007. So Facebook is like life back then. And you know, you have to go like Facebook stalk everybody. And he's like, no, I don't. And I was like, what? Who are you?
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, everybody has Facebook. Like you need to get on Facebook.
Which speaks volumes to the person George is today.
Yeah. No, it does.
Oh my gosh.
He's so just not into social media.
Yes.
So it's just cracking me up. So he did not have Facebook.
I don't think I knew that part of the story that you asked
him.
I'm
joking. But the best part is, Sarah, he went and set up an account like 2 weeks later. Not even, like a week later. He set up an account probably to go find me too.
Aww.
So funny. So I'm like, we're chatting. And then I think like Sarah came around or his friend. No, actually, I know his friend did, who was also a construction worker. His friend Shane came around. I was just like, hey. And I was like, I think I was like, oh, I got to go find my friends. So right before I left, though, he did say, wait, can I like get your number?
Aww.
And that is like so not like me. And so like, again, spontaneous, like bizarre, because I never like give my phone number to like kind of a stranger, essentially.
Yeah.
That's just like, I normally would like, oh, we got to talk or flirt or hang out or like whatever first. And So I gave it to him.
It was the outfit. It did it for you.
I guess, right? Oh my gosh. And I gave it to him, and then we like split up, and then I kind of saw him again on the dance floor. Yeah.
No, I'm raising my hand because I have to tell you what I remember of this night.
Okay.
I don't remember ever seeing George at all.
Yes.
And then as we are leaving, you like being like, oh, there he is, or something like that. And him coming over and you being like, this is, you were like party girl mode right now.
Yes.
This
is
George. Oh my gosh. Hi. Like, blah, blah, blah. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I just remember seeing him for the first time there and him being like, hey. Like,
yes. Well, and so this is the 31st. My birthday is November 14th. So I'm trying to remember exactly the span of time. He called me, but he definitely waited on it for a minute. Like it was not the next day. He probably called me like 10 days later.
George. So,
yeah. Yeah. Because I can specifically remember getting onto the 101 on the freeway and listening to his voicemail and being like, hey, this is George Willis. We met the other night at the Halloween party. Like, you know, love to see you, blah, 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 whatever.
Was he just doing the right thing by like wrapping up the old relationship before he pursued you?
Maybe that, or just maybe like that whole like, let's not look desperate.
Yeah,
long's too long? Like, not too soon. Oh. So, and I remember my birthday was coming up, and I think I just kind of casually threw out like, hey, we're going to go to Dave and Buster's. You want to come? And he didn't come.
No.
And so I was like, oh, he's like not interested. Okay, whatever. But he did ask me out like shortly after that, and we went on our first date, and it was like, it just like went like perfect. Yeah. And it was just like, oh, this is something.
George was on my couch for the next 6 months. Every time I came home.
I know, right? George, your third roommate here. No.
So
I know it's And then from there, we just like, we dated, and we dated quick. Like, we were like pretty exclusive within like 3 or 4 dates.
Yeah.
And
it but was it just all like, started on Halloween.
Yeah. And it all started. And then forever Halloween, we kind of like faded off. But like every Halloween, I used to get him like a card or something like little and be like, this is the day we met.
Oh
like,
my gosh. I love
so
that.
Many moons ago.
So follow up question. So he didn't text you first because texting was going on back then.
Yeah. No, it definitely was, but no, he did not. He called and I didn't answer, and I don't know if that was purposeful or not. Like,
was send it to classic.
I cannot remember. I really can't, but I remember listening to his voicemail so clearly and being like, oh my gosh, she called. Okay
so lessons we can take from this.
I know,
anybody
dissect the dating here
is don't be afraid to talk face to face.
Absolutely.
Number two, it's okay to show a little skin, guys.
The boys. Oh my gosh.
Number three, call the girl. Don't text.
Yes. I loved that. I did love that.
And number four, it's okay to just jump into it.
Yeah. And I think also like as girls and boys, everybody just like put yourself out there. Like go.
Absolutely.
I mean, sometimes it's like Halloween, like you're getting home from work or school and you're just like, but like, go have fun. Like, put yourself out there. Go do it. Like, you got to, like, we just, like, loved a good opportunity to go have fun and act crazy and dance and whatever.
And don't be too cool.
Yeah, don't be too cool for it.
Now, and even our generation did this to a degree where it was, like, they were, like, too cool. Like, you didn't want to come off, like, oh, you were excited to meet somebody.
Or like excited to dress up. Oh, let me just like put on like a hat and some like, you know, a bandana. I'm dressed up.
Right.
Like, no, people committed back then and they were into it and we loved it and we all just like loved it together. I think it was like, those parties were like big hits. Now they probably would be
fun.
Total like fizzle. I don't know.
It'd be,
I hope they're still happening. Do you remember that other party at the hangar?
Oh, the
airplane hangar. I mean, they did the dance party thing and it was so fun.
So fun.
And they were clean parties. Like, you know what I mean? They were just people out having fun dancing. I mean,
so
not,
fun.
You
loved
know,
it.
Getting crazy. So,
well,
good old days.
Love
no,
you guys.
But thanks guys. No, it was. And it is a special fun memory. And I have always loved Halloween. So it kind of makes it all the more fun.
Yeah. So awesome. And we have to post a story of,
his costume,
his costume, our costumes, all of it.
Oh, we have lots of pictures from that night.
Yeah.
I'd have to dig up some too, but yeah, absolutely.
We can paint a picture for sure.
Oh yeah. George.
Okay. Well, let's get into the spooky part of the episode.
Oh, I know.
Tell me, all I know about this is, in quotes, the stick story.
The cane story, which essentially it is a stick.
Okay.
But like,
I know nothing else.
So yeah, we were talking like, oh, let's like share some like spooky stories. And I, it's funny. Personally, I have really never experienced anything too spooky,
creepy.
I'm grateful for that. But there have been a lot of people in my life that have had like immediate kind of weird, I guess ghostly, spooky, bizarre experiences.
Stop it.
So this one is one that it kind of like rings true in George's family. Everyone kind of like loves to tell this around the campfire, and it's just bizarre.
Oh my gosh. So long story short,
I know I'm long-winded. I'm going to try to tell it like, you know. But
paint George, the picture for us, Lauren.
I know. George's oldest sister, she was engaged at the time to her husband, Ronnie, and Lindsay and Ronnie had gone hiking in the Superstition Mountains.
And they're named that for a reason, you guys.
Superstition. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun. So they're out hiking and they find this cane, just like, and they weren't even on the path. Like it was kind of, they had kind of gone off the path.
A cane as in a walking stick?
Yeah, kind of like a walking stick. It was tall and it was very detailed engraved. George says it was
like almost, a Native American thing.
Yeah, it almost, yes, it kind of, it could have been Indian. He kind of saw like a, maybe a Mexican Spanish style to it. And it kind of had this face on the top of it and it was very detailed.
Whoa.
So, and it was off the like beaten path. They weren't on the trail at that time. They had kind of gone off to whatever. And they just had found it sitting there. And they're like, this is like really a intricate, beautiful piece. Let's take it. You know, it's just kind of left there. So they take it and they're walking off the trail with it and they take it home. So like they had it and Lindsay, I don't know, just brought it home. She kind of showed, oh mom, look at this. And I don't even know, just like sat behind the door in the closet, whatever. So it was just there. And Rex had thought it was really cool. George's younger brother. He's like, oh, that's really cool. I like that. So like Lyda, his mother, I'm using all these names, but his mother, George's mom was like, this is like weird. I don't know. Okay. And she just didn't like get a great vibe from it, like, which is weird, but she just had a weird feeling when they showed it to her. So she's like, okay, whatever. So later, like a night or two within that, the next morning, George's dad comes downstairs and his mom was like, George, or Ron, tell George, tell the kids what happened last night. He's like, no. And he's like, no, she's like, no, tell him. And I think it was like one or two of the boys were at breakfast. Yeah. And he says, well, it was just weird. I woke up and I could hear, it was like as if someone was, they have a two-story house. I could hear like running down the hall. And they just have like a short hallway. They have three bedrooms upstairs and a bathroom. And he opened the door and no one was there.
Wait, what?
Yes. So he heard like footsteps. It sounded like someone was running. And he even like, I think, called out one of the boys' names. Like, are you there? What's going on? And he got back into bed. And then he heard it again, as if someone was running back and forth in the hallway really fast. Ooh, I even still get goosebumps.
Oh my gosh,
it's weird.
Stop.
And he goes, and nobody was there. It was like super weird. Lights were off. No one was up. Nothing was going on. But he like distinctly heard running in the hallway.
Oh,
and their
my
house
gosh.
Is kind of an older house. And just like even my second story, you can hear footsteps on the staircase. It's
totally.
Just that wood. It's like hollow. Kind of, my stairs even creak and it's in not as old as their house. But
right.
So he heard it. So so I don't know. They thought it was weird. Lyda saw that cane within that day or two and thought it just, I don't know, all the weirdness, kind of the weird vibe she was feeling. She's like, I'm getting rid of this thing. And she just threw it out into the trash can, right?
Okay.
So then that weekend, they go camping and George's younger brother, Rex, he couldn't go camping with the family because he had football practice. So he had to stay back and he stayed home alone. He was like a junior or senior at the time.
Okay.
So he stayed home alone. And he's coming home and he sees the cane in the garbage. And he was like, that's cool. What is mom doing? Like, I could hunt with that, take that hiking, whatever. Why is she throwing it out? It's cool.
Yeah.
He brings it back into the house. So he was like, okay. And he put it, I don't know, whatever, put it back in the house. So that night he's sitting on the couch in the family room. He's not upstairs. He's staying on the couch. He's watching TV, home alone, falls asleep. And he wakes up to the dog barking and their dog. And he's barking at the staircase. And their staircase isn't like my house where you can see the whole second floor. It's like your house where it goes up and you cannot see anything up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So listeners, you know what I mean? Like a hallway, a staircase,
like
it just kind of goes directly up. It doesn't show like the banister or the second floor. So he can't see up his stairs, but the dog in the middle of the night is just barking, barking, barking at the stairs. And their dog is like a very well-trained dog and he responds to something fishy.
And dogs totally have a second
sense of like whatever. So he whatever, the dog's going crazy barking up the stairs. And so he thought that was like really creepy. It kind of creeped him out. He calmed him down. He brought him in. He even thought maybe mom and dad had come home, like come up. He's like, mom, no one was up there. And so he's like, okay. So he goes, tries to go back to sleep. And then he kind of can't go back to sleep. And he's kind of like half in there. And he hears running down the hallway back and forth, like just the steps up on the stairs. And I still get goosebumps with it because I just envision their house. And it's funny because they just all tease that their house is like haunted. And it's weird for them to say that because it's like their childhood home. But there's been enough kind of spooky things in that house for some of them that they are just like, something's up. And so again, he's obviously freaked out. He hears footsteps and he doesn't even know what to do. Like, and even my George was like, what does he do? Like, it's in the middle of the night. Does he drive away and go to his friend's house at 3 a.m?
Oh my God.
So he somehow settles himself back down, falls asleep. And the family comes home within the day or two and he tells them what happens. He's like, yeah, that's what I heard. And the mom, Lida, again, sorry, so many names. I probably shouldn't put names out there. But George's mom is like, it is this stick. I had a weird feeling the minute that thing came in my home. I tried to get rid of it. You brought it back in here.
No.
And you had this weird experience. I don't know. Something is spooky, haunted, spirited with this stick. Get this thing out of here. They threw it out and it never happened again.
Oh my gosh.
I know, so cheesy and so weird, but like it was two of them had like very distinct spooky things happen and they really felt like this like spirited stick from either Indian culture, Mexican, who even knows, maybe some freaky bandit out there in the mountains, but they really felt like this thing brought in like a weird evil spirit
of some sort,
and they got rid of it and it was gone.
Oh my gosh. Well, one of the shows that I just came off of watching, well, two actually, is Ghost Whisperer.
Yes, you love that one.
I love that one. I just watched it like in its totality, and then I watched Medium recently, and both of them are like about spirit medium.
Yes,
yeah, you know Medium.
Do I?
It's like Alison Dubois. She's a medium, and yes, she like can see spirits occasionally, and like she can communicate with dead people. Essentially,
oh my gosh, right? And,
oh my gosh, it like sent me into this whole tailspin of like, does this exist?
Is this real? Right.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to go into it here, but like when you hear some stories like this, it's
when
oh
I hear
gosh.
The medium stuff, some of it has like been so true and hits home so close for people. I'm like, how could it not be?
I know. I think it's probably the case of like there are a few, but then there are a lot who like,
oh, for sure,
are fake and they ruin
it. Well, and it's weird because I do think like that veil of like the spirit world and spirits, good and bad, is there in this life for people. And like it's funny because George, my husband, he is way, way more spooked by the idea of like a satanic, demon-like, bad spirits,
like an evil spirit,
evil things happening, where I am like way, way more afraid of like someone breaking through my window and killing me tonight.
Yeah.
So it's like funny, we have totally different fears. Like I've never also had like a weird spirit experience
or
like
a feeling
that,
like that.
A bad feeling. Yeah. Like my experiences, I don't know, my demeanor just does not
totally
go there. And I don't know. But then I've known people to have one or two or three different, very weird, spiritual, dark, maybe bad, evil experiences that they've had to encounter. And it's been very scary.
That just makes my skin
crawl. I know. It's just crazy.
Oh my gosh. Well, to segue into my story.
Yeah. And then you're on the opposite end of my true fears. Very creepy, real crime that can happen.
Mine is very, very real. So I want to paint a picture. Well, first of all, good story. Creepy
Well,
story.
You know, it's just a bizarre, cheesy, but creepy, real story. I mean, they're very, like when they tell it to you, it's like, you can't help but kind of get goosebumps at the idea of like something like that happening
in your home.
It's a perfect
fireside story.
Oh my gosh.
Totally.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me paint a little picture for you of the place where I grew up and I still call home and I go back there
absolutely.
Very often. My family still lives there. It's a small town in East Texas called Gilmer, Texas, home of the Buckeyes.
Gilmer, shout out to you.
That's right. I would say it's probably pushing 5,000 people. It might be more now.
So you can actually really call Sarah a Gilmer girl. She would love that. Yeah. She'll claim that. She'll take it.
Totally. but I would say like when I think of like creepy things in my life, like this is the number one thing that will always remain with me. So it's the unsolved mystery, essentially, of a girl named Kelly Wilson. And Kelly was from Gilmer, lived in Gilmer. Her mom, funny enough, worked with my mom every single day.
Really?
Yeah. She was a nurse with my mother, and they worked in the public health department. They ran the office there on the highway, and they saw each other every day. Her mom, Kathy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So as the story goes, I'm going to tell you kind of what went down, okay?
No, I'm
It's a
intrigued.
Crazy story where there's satanic cults brought into it, where they were accused of like sacrificing Kelly and like all of these crazy things. I have heard stories or claims that like a serial killer might have gotten her. Like, you never know, right? To this day, they have never found her body. Like, it's a cold case, essentially. Okay. All right. So the year is 1992. It's January 5th, 1992. And Kelly worked. So our town has a town square. Okay. So think of like Back to the Future, where there's the courthouse in the middle, the clock on the courthouse, and then there's businesses surrounding the courthouse.
Right.
That's my town. Like, as idyllic as you can imagine.
Oh,
right?
My gosh.
You
cute.
Have the local church on the corner. You have like your hamburger place, your shoe shop, like the florist. Like, it's like, it's like Gilmore Girls.
Yes, it right. is. It's just the town square, everything.
It's just got a southern twang to it. You know what I mean? And then the courthouse is there in the middle. Okay, well, Kelly was working at the video store. Remember those?
Oh my gosh, Blockbuster and all those. Yeah,
it wasn't Blockbuster. It was a local video store. And she was like the girl who checked you out, right?
Right.
So last time she was ever seen was that night after she was closing up the store. She went to go make the bank deposit. Okay. There, keep in mind, it's 1992. So there is security footage of her from the bank driving her car and making the deposit, but it's really grainy and they're not able to tell for sure if it was her. And then second, they're not able to determine if there was a second person in the car. It looks could have been. Okay. So, funny enough, after she doesn't come home that evening, her stepfather goes to the square, goes and tries to find her to look, and he finds her car, okay? Mm-hmm. Her car is locked, tires are slashed.
Oh my gosh.
And all of her personal belongings are in the car, but the keys are missing. Okay?
Okay.
And she's gone. Okay. Again, keep in mind, it's 1992 in a small Texas town. DNA forensics was like not what it is today. I think a lot could have been done that wasn't, or they just didn't know about that time.
Right.
That, you know, they could have done probably more forensic type stuff. So anyway, after, well, let me start off by saying, there was a police sergeant, James Brown, who was put on the case. And from what I understand, he was like your like ideal policeman. He like dedicated his life and career pretty much to trying to find out what happened to Kelly. And funny enough, he ends up being indicted for her murder as part of this story.
No.
I'll get there.
What?
Yes. Crazy. Okay. So we come to the fact where she's like found missing. Hundreds of volunteers are sent out like across the town, the county. They're looking in the backwoods. So East Texas is very like forest and trees. It's not at all what you might think of like Texas to be like. It's very green and lush. There's lakes and ponds and like pretty much like a nightmare when it comes to something like
just
this.
Just having to find every inch of like, forest. Gosh.
Like, I can see how there's just not enough people to cover the square footage. I mean,
oh my gosh.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, manhunts were out. Everybody was looking for her. I can remember. I was only seven years old.
Yeah, how old were you? Are you seeing this on the news?
Yeah, I was 7 years old at the time. And I can remember to this day the poster that was everywhere. It was a flyer that was all over the town. And it was black and white. And up top it said missing. And then it was, I think it said her name under it. And then it had like, you know, her details and stuff with her picture. I can remember so vividly seeing those flyers everywhere.
Wow.
Okay.
Yes.
And then I would just say it was just such a hysteria. So keep in mind, it's a small town. Somebody goes missing, like it's one of your own. You know what I mean?
Well, and you're just, there's not many of you. So it's like you just are in a panic.
It's so crazy. And so I just feel like the whole thing became such a, I don't want to say
personal,
Yeah, it did. And then I don't know how to describe it. It was such a panic and like a mania that kind of came over the town. So the police started searching. She had a boyfriend that apparently had a temper. They ended up ruling him out. I don't know. And he had a friend. Long story short, the local police were not really getting anywhere. So they had a outside district attorney come in to investigate the investigate the case. And he started going down a path of this supposed cult. Okay. He started getting word that there was like this backwoods family. And I remember it. I'm not going to say the name of the family because I mean, right. I don't want to do that. Okay. But anyway, he starts going down the path of this cult being responsible for her death. Okay. And I do remember that and just the hysteria of Satan and sacrifices.
Well, and like, just the fear that it could happen again or someone else would be taken or like that's just got to be so scary.
It was so crazy. So like I said, long story short, the original sergeant who was investigating the case, he gets lumped into this whole thing.
Really?
As a supposed alleged member of the cult.
Oh my gosh. Right?
And he gets indicted. He was later cleared, and as all of them were actually, but it's just like the most bizarre, creepy, spine tingling thing like that has ever ran through my town. And honestly, it's just like super heartbreaking because knowing her mom, I can still remember seeing her mom occasionally. And I remember like obviously the heartbreak and like devastation that came over her.
Oh, not knowing. And I not knowing.
And I've said to you a thousand times, like that is my worst fear in life is like something happening to my child and just not knowing.
Oh, what? The unknown. The worst nightmare possible.
Like I just can't even imagine. So anyway, it's just a really crazy story. If you're interested, go read about it. I don't have time to tell you like all the details about it, but there's theories that like she was like caught and taken into like sex trafficking. I hate to say that, but I've heard that out there. I've heard that she might have been like the victim of a random serial killer who was like active.
Would they have any reason to think she'd run away or anything?
No, ruled that out. No. It was, and there was just a lot of like suspicious things that I guess happened, like with her car and her personal goods, the keys being gone.
Yes.
Like there was
it
just a lot of
foul
like,
play. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a lot of like really weird things. And then I have to read you this. So when I was like, freshening up on the details of the case, I have to tell you, so there's an old police sergeant or police officer who was involved in the case. And in one of the local news articles, they wrote an article about her 20th anniversary of her going missing.
Oh, yes.
It says a former law enforcement officer who's now retired and asked to not be identified said, we never worked harder on any case than we did on that one. And he says this, 3 people know what happened to Kelly Wilson and 2 of them are still alive. I don't know. He didn't identify who they were. So I don't know what that means. Like,
well,
maybe
meaning Kelly and the person that took her, or like,
I don't
meaning
know.
Like, two
or maybe
other...
he feels like he knows who did it, and they never went to prison. They never got caught.
Right.
I don't know. Funny enough, I do know that her boyfriend, who was a main suspect, okay, there was he ended up dying of cancer, like later in life. So I don't know if that's what he's talking about. Like 3 people, and one of them is dead.
Yes.
I don't know if he's talking about that. But yeah, it's a crazy story and something that still like lives on in the like minds of the people who grew up there.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know.
Wow.
It's just like, you gotta go read about it. It's Kelly Wilson. God bless her parents. Like,
oh my gosh. Absolutely.
And really it is like, it's funny growing up there, really like God and football are like everything.
Of course. Yes. Yes.
So I feel like it really was like almost a hysteria when the cult thing got brought into
it and the
Satan worship and stuff, because to people who are so God fearing and like Christian
people,
that's the ultimate,
worst
evil that's out there. You know what I mean? Like somebody who would kill on behalf of Satan, like that is the ultimate. And so anyway, anytime I see like a serial killer movie or anytime I see anything like that, I always think of Kelly and I don't know. I pray it's not the end of her story. I pray that like there's some miracle cold case forensics that can be done sometime.
How old was she when she went missing?
She was 17.
17. So in high school. Okay.
She was 17. She was like blonde hair, blue eyes, you know, like just your all-American girl.
Absolutely.
I mean, she probably had her, you know, wild days or whatever, but who didn't? And
oh
like,
my gosh.
I know. Just heartbreaking. And can you believe?
Well,
No, I was just going to say, and can you believe it like happened in my little town?
Well, in your little town. And that's so many things, because it's like when it is such like a personal, when it's such a tight community, you just feel like it could have been any one of us. And how, what if it happens again? You're almost like, you keep the kids inside. You just don't know until things are finalized and someone's caught. You almost are like, is someone out for my kids, my us, what's going on?
Oh my gosh.
So it is like a fear that just like, and there's only been a few times where I felt, not a few times, there's really only, I just remember, and this is just like a minor thing, but we had a thing called the baseline killer. You were in college and that was going on. But there were so many frequent things of it happening. And we live in a huge metro city, but it was almost like it had happened multiple times. Like you would almost never know it could happen to you. Like it could get you. You could be driving on that road. And it was almost like, don't drive on that road. Hey, don't go out at past 7 o'clock. Just heaven forbid something. It's like weird. It's a weird feeling.
You left me alone in my dorm room when the baseline killer was active.
Did I? And we were close to baseline where we lived in Tempe.
Yes. Very close. I can remember being by myself in our apartment when he was active.
Funny enough. Where did I go?
I don't know. You must have been on break or something. Or
I went out of town.
I was alone. I remember being so freaked out because the story with the baseline killer was he was going to car washes. Do you remember?
Yes.
He was going to car washes and like abducting and killing people car washes.
But don't you also remember he would sit in the trunk and shoot from the car?
Was that him?
Yes.
Are we talking about different people?
No, I remember the car wash thing too. But I
know what you're talking about. But the I-10. That was the I-10 killer.
Okay.
No, they're two different ones.
You're right.
Two different ones.
He was the car wash one. Yeah. You're right. Yep.
Oh my gosh. I thought you were gonna talk about the story where the woman snuck in through the garage door and killed the people in the bed in Mesa.
Oh, but they didn't die, remember?
They didn't die.
Yes. And that's a woman. It was a man. And he came in through the garage. Just remember, make sure your garage door closes. Like it was, a broom had fallen or something and it bounced back up. And they had gotten into bed. And this is actually a close friend's brother who it had ended up happening to. We had become friends later. But I'd heard this story happen in Mesa. And he went through the garage and he was on drugs, crazy person. And went in the kitchen and got a knife, went in the bedroom and just started stabbing the husband,
for no reason. No apparent reason.
My friend's brother. And just because he was on drugs, wanted money, just out of his mind. And the wife ran into the bathroom, called the police. By a miracle, he's okay. And he actually goes around speaking about his experience. And woman called in. I don't even know. I think he was able to get him off of him, but at this point he'd been stabbed like 10, 15 times, like crazy. And he survived. And it was like, and she's actually crazy enough too. She had a very spiritual experience. She did. She felt like she said, and I don't want to put words, I don't know, but like she saw him glowing white when it was happening. Like even though he was covered in blood,
what?
He was like glowing white. And yeah, there's like the kind of like a spiritual,
like medium stuff.
A spiritual story that happened
Ghost
with
Whisperer
it.
Stuff.
Yeah, I know. And of course that guy totally got caught. Thank the Lord.
Oh, but
my
those
gosh.
Are the stories that just make me like,
terrifying.
Like you said, it's the real life.
It's terrifying.
Stuff
it's terrifying. Just, oh my gosh.
Does
oh
me
my
in.
Gosh. Absolutely. And crime happens every day.
Oh
and
my gosh.
You just have to be so careful.
I looked up when I was researching the Kelly stuff, like refreshing my memory. There are 2,000 active serial killers in the U.S. right now.
And serial killer is such a strong term.
Well, okay. And
because
how,
that means
how they
multiple.
Classify, no, how the FBI classifies that is more than two killings.
Yes.
Spaced out. So there has to be a space of time.
Right.
Between
two
the
separate
killings.
Happenings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Creepy.
That is terrifying.
Well, it is creepy and it's not. Like when you think about all the gang members and like
right.
all of like the, just
right.
the street crime that happens.
Well,
like,
and you,
yeah.
and I like somehow find comfort in when I find it's like intentional. It's like the crazy ex-boyfriend or something. But when it is random,
I know. I know. It is just like the
Sorry.
Craziest. No, you're totally fine.
So scary.
Well, crazy weird episode. Sorry. But we just thought we would do like Halloween edition.
I know. And like, man, there's nothing crazier. I mean, scarier than that. And I mean, On a side note, have you really quick seen any good scary movies in the last few years? Talking about scary.
If I'm being honest, like, I feel like I don't see many movies, period.
I know. What has happened to us? We were like the movie junkies, you guys. There was a movie out, we saw it. Like, till we were like 25, and then it's so changed.
It's so true. And I feel like if I don't catch it in the theater, like, I'm not seeing it for sure. Like, we are not the couple who's sitting at home watching Netflix on a Saturday night.
It's so true. Like, we've gotten old. Where it's like my husband falls asleep in the first 20 minutes and it's like, dang it, like this, I want to see this, but we just don't last.
Totally. So
it's like not as, I don't know.
I feel like there's a few TV shows maybe or like series. I don't know. But I try and steer clear of that stuff because it does stick with me. Like, and I have to be careful with
You just don't want to.
Being freaked out.
Right. Honestly. We're parents now and our like brains just work a little differently.
Yeah.
I do still love like a good Dateline and I do love a good SVU case or something, but like, it doesn't faze me quite as hard as you, but like.
I'll tell you the last thing that like made my skin crawl, like honestly, was I watched the special, it was like CBS special or something, documentary style on Charles Manson.
Oh and, yeah, like, that was out recently.
His kind of has like a Satan, like.
Oh, very. Cultish vibe to it. Cult,
And I can remember watching that and just feeling like. Oh,
so creeped out. Dark. Well, and Ted Bundy, we've talked Ted Bundy a few times.
Bundy's his was like different.
He is because like, he was more like appealing and charming.
And but, he was just a killer. Like, yes. I feel like the Manson thing, they were like possessed, like not possessed, but brainwashed,
very,
dark,
very freaky,
creepy people.
Freaky, yeah.
Just creepy. Yeah, like they had these dead looks on their faces and like no emotion at all. And I feel like way different than when you're watching the Bundy tapes.
Yes,
like he at least is like a psychopath to where he's able to fake it, you know?
Yes, true.
Like when you're watching these Manson girls like holding these guns, they have these videos of them back in the 70s where they're holding these knives and guns and like talking to the camera, and it's so spine chilling. It really is
disturbing. Disturbing.
Oh my gosh. And then when you, so funny, weird enough, again, another weird thing I have, my great aunt taught Tex Watson, who was the guy who killed performed the murders of the actress, oh my gosh, what's her name, the actress.
Oh, the one that was killed. Just in the movie?
Yes. Oh my gosh.
What was her name?
I can't remember. But anyway, he was from Dallas. His name, they called him Tex for that reason. That wasn't his real name. But my great aunt taught him English in Dallas.
As like an elementary high school?
No, as a high schooler.
And then he went on to be the killer?
He went on to be Tex Watson, who murdered
Sharon. Oh my gosh.
Sharon Tate. He went on to be Tex Watson, who murdered Sharon Tate. And so, and I remember her saying like, oh, he was a sweet kid. Like they always say, right?
Isn't that just, creepy.
Like creepy. So
creepy.
Anyway.
Ugh. Oh my gosh. But, yes.
Okay. Well, let's flip this around.
Oh my gosh. Right.
Enough like creepy, but funny enough, I have gotten into the true crime podcast lately.
Awesome.
And I'm like, I'm deep into
that's all
the true
George
crime.
Like, well, no, George listens to a lot of, but I feel like all these like cold is one you need to check out because George loved that one. It was on the Powell cases.
Yeah.
And
I love Crime Junkie.
Yeah. And all, the, yes, I love a good mystery, I guess.
Oh, it's just like something weird about us, that humans, that we are fascinated by it.
Yeah, we're fascinated by such a like weird disturbed, topic. Like bizarre situation.
Because I think it's that the good, like good people, I feel like it's that we really just can't imagine ourselves.
We can't
ever
comprehend what how this happens.
It's kind of dumbfounding in a way of like, absolutely. How do people do this? Like, for example, I just listened to the one on Scott Peterson and like thinking like, how could he do that to his wife and unborn son? Like how, you know?
It's just,
it is like that fascination with like, I don't get it.
Right. Trying to figure that out. I know.
So, okay. Well, we're coming up on time. So we did want to talk just with all the Halloween craziness and the madness. I told Lauren I had a funny experience last night. We went to our Halloween like fall festival and I found myself getting like crazy with like spraying the hair red and getting the makeup perfect and like wanting to take all these cute pose like
before
Instagram
they get all
shots.
Sweaty and messed up.
Yeah,
and
no, totally. And I feel like there was this moment when I was there at the fall festival and I'm like beating my kids down with pictures.
Yeah, right.
And they were just like, Mom, like, come on, I want to go do the bounce house.
Yeah, I want to go play.
And I had this like moment of like, yeah, put your phone away, Sarah. Like, let's be real and let's like enjoy it and let them go bounce. No more pictures. Like, let's be done. And don't get me wrong, I videoed here and there, but like I felt like whatever. I had this moment where it was like, yeah, I need to like check myself a little bit and just enjoy the moment. I feel like
I feel like there's this fine line, and sometimes I'm literally sitting in it. Like, which one do I do? Like, if it's a moment, a memory experience, where part of me wants to video it, picture it, take pictures, and capture it so I can save it.
Right.
But then there is a part of you not experiencing it. Like, I find myself like with the dance recital.
Yes.
I'm videoing it, trying to get on the camera, but then I'm not like actually seeing her dance.
You're watching the screen.
And I'm like, sometimes I'm like, wait, no, I should put this down and watch her. No, but I want to be able to see this and show it to her, and I want to have this forever. And so there's this weird fine line of like,
totally.
You want to capture it, but then it's so important to just like experience it and be there and like feel it and like see it and feel the excitement, emotion with it, instead of looking at that little freaking screen that consumes all of us.
It's so true.
So I know there is that balance, and it's you gotta find.
So I just wanted to say to all of you out there, if you're at all stressing about, you know, they were eating pizza and got pizza sauce on their costumes.
I keep being like, don't smell. Yeah, I know.
Like, but it is. If you lost your mask or if like whatever,
they
want to
take
stress.
If they want to take their wig off halfway through, you just got to be like, okay, let them, whatever they're comfortable in, let them have fun. Let them be little.
I guess it's just a message to the moms, and I'm so guilty. Oh, and that's what I'm saying.
We all are. We all are. Yeah.
I caught myself in the moment, like slapping myself, being like, no, just be in the moment and enjoy it.
Let them experience it. Have fun. We're so excited. You
don't
guys have
it.
A fun, safe Halloween. Yeah. It's going to be such a fun week.
It is a fun week. It's a little stressful. Like,
it's a busy week.
I won't say stressful. I feel like my kids are already overly tired.
I know, going into a busy week.
Going into it. And what I mean by that is like, we've already had 2 Halloween events.
Yeah.
And we've already gotten the candy and we've already gotten, that's why I feel good about that weekend law that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Like, let's just wait for a weekend. Like,
yes. And party it out for 2 or 3 days and be done.
I feel like that's the problem with Halloween is like, it lands on a weird weekday and then people start filling up the weekend.
Oh yeah. It's 10 days out of parties and stuff.
Beating.
Yeah, totally.
And we do it to ourselves.
No, absolutely.
Don't get me wrong, but like, I feel like they are
already.
It's
just a lot of stuff. Yeah.
They're already done to some degree and we haven't even gotten there yet.
There's so much stuff, and try not to overbook yourself. Try not to overdo it because for me, the last few weeks, the latter half of October has been crazy for multiple reasons. Mm-hmm. We've had a family wedding. We've had Halloween. We've had our church program. We've had
school volunteering.
Football. We have the school stuff. So it just piled on really thick this last few weeks. And I'm like, I'm not going to do them. I literally have already told myself, do not do this to myself for Christmas. Oh, like, pace myself.
And
like,
I already
do
told
not.
You, buckle up, because it's going to
get
worse.
I actually feel like November is going to be normal. Okay.
I love
mild.
That.
But December gets just buck wild. And I just have to be like, take it in stride, be careful, not too much.
Totally. And we are so bad at that.
We are so bad.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, let's wrap up with our hits and misses. Tell me what your hit is for the week.
Well, my hit is just piggybacking on that. It was by default. I try to volunteer. Again, I do it to myself, but I just like want to be there for the kids on their like holiday parties. And so my kids' school does it the Friday, speaking of weekends.
Yeah.
They do it the Friday before the holiday. They don't do it like the day of. I think same thing. They just don't want them to be so fired up and it just throws the rest of the week off.
Yeah.
So they do it on the Friday, which is fine, I guess. So anyways, I split up my 3 kids into 3 holidays, and Emmett, my 7-year-old first grader, had me for Halloween. And they'll have Christmas and Valentine's. So, and I ended up being chair. I think it was like of the Halloween party. I didn't really plan to do that. I think I like had signed up and then it fell on that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, totally.
I planned the whole party and drug on for a few days, but it went great.
You rocked it.
I got it done. It was fine. So it was fun.
Oh my gosh.
Hit it.
You hit it hard and you hit it good. You did games and all of it. You showed up in costume, girlfriend.
Well, I wore a fun hat and you know,
well done. I loved it. I got a picture. Okay. Well, my hit was my first time going to a thrift store.
Yes.
Not my first time. I've like obviously been to a thrift store to like look for a Halloween costume or something, or for like an ugly sweater party or something. But like this was my first time like going for a haul. You know what I mean?
Oh, totally.
And I went to go find like party supplies for a party, you know, the witch's party that we're doing. And oh my gosh, I was just like, in heaven. I'm not even kidding. I was blown away by the stuff I found.
Well, and I just like to kind of dip into a thrift store here and there. I'm definitely not ashamed of it. I will just go in there and be like, what can I find? And sometimes I find a darling Gap dress for my daughter for $4. And sometimes I find brand new roller skates for $6. And you can just find these gems that you're just so excited about.
Oh my gosh. I came home. I'm not even kidding. My Tahoe seats down in the back that was loaded.
That is so funny.
I think I bought like 50 books, like beautiful, hardbound, pretty, pretty books. I bought so much crap, you guys. I'm not even kidding. My husband was so annoyed.
That is so funny.
He was like, are you for real right now? What are you doing? So anyway.
Yeah, you can find treasures. Yeah. For sure.
Okay, tell me your hit or your miss.
My miss, it actually kind of goes with the Halloween party thing. So Evelyn, I wasn't in her room, but I just kind of dipped into her room last second to be like, how was it? Fun. And so she really wanted to take the bus home. I thought I'd bring her home. So she's like, Mom, will you take, and what their party, majority of it consisted of was making these gingerbread haunted houses that were darling.
Cute.
Yeah, she had made this cute thing. It was this cute little haunted
house.
Don't
even tell me.
So she's like, Mom, will you carry it home for me so I don't have to take it on the bus? And I'm like, sure. Okay, she wants to take the bus. I'll see you there, whatever.
Okay.
So I'm walking along and I don't even know. I had one thing in my arm. I was holding it. I turned.
No.
And the whole thing, I was still at the school. The whole thing toppled right over and smashed on the floor.
Oh,
and I just felt so terrible because that was like their party. They didn't do like games. They like crafted this thing
and
for 30, 40 minutes. And
it
was so cute. And she wanted to probably put it on the counter and look at it all week. I didn't know if she was going to like eat it or just like look at it. So I am just like so flustered. I felt so bad. I picked up the pieces. I ran home with Emmett. I'm like, I can glue gun this really fast together. And then I'm like, but wait, maybe she just wanted to eat it anyways. Maybe I shouldn't glue gun it yet. So I waited till she got home and she was super disappointed. But I'm like, are you going to eat it or I'll put it back together for you? And she's like, well, I wanted to look at it for a minute. And I was like, yeah, okay, let's put it back together. So we tried. And then she kind of ate. I just felt so bad.
Oh.
Mom fail.
Mom
I felt so bad.
Fail. Oh, that's horrible. Well, mine is, how many of my misses are going to occur at Target? That's all I want to ask. Like, I'm not even kidding.
A lot. Yeah, yes, with us, probably.
Like, I have my worst parenting moments in Target. And I don't even, and I mean like me losing my crap on my kids in Target.
What happened?
No, it's nothing weird or random, but it was literally just like I needed to run into Target.
Yes.
You know, I need to grab X, Y, and Z. Like, why can we just not keep our crap together for the 20 minutes?
Are you grabbing X, Y, and Z? Drive up. Do the drive up.
I know.
If it's not fresh, you can drive up for anything.
No, that's my point. You can't drive up for the stuff I was, or for a couple things.
What was it? If it was like apples, then yes, you can't. But
I had a return to do.
Okay.
So I had to go in the store anyway. And then there was like something on my list that wasn't available for drive up for
Dang
some reason.
It.
Anyway, literally, I just found myself having a come to Jesus meeting in the boys' clothing section with Kate and Landon, my older two, just looking them in the eye saying, why? Like, guys, keep it together. Stop touching.
Why?
It's just like they have to touch everything. And like, it's like, oh my gosh, Lauren, I was just going crazy. Like, I needed to get in and out, and it took so long. I'm just screaming at them the whole time.
Oh my
Luke
gosh, totally.
Luke loses his crap. He found a Mario lunchbox that he was like determined to take home, okay?
Oh,
when
no.
I tried to take Mario away from him, you would have thought I cut off his left toe. Like, I'm not even kidding.
So did
screaming.
You buy it?
No, I didn't.
Good
it
for
like
you.
It was like $20.
Good for you. That's good.
But when I got outside, I ended up spanking him, which I never spank my children. I really don't.
Yeah.
And
I
just kind of lost it because he had been screaming in the store for 15 minutes. Screaming.
Oh, yeah.
And I got in the parking lot and I like swatted him and I saw other people looking at me. And immediately I'm like, oh, why did I just do that? But I just like lost it on him. And I'm like, why do I have to do this
honestly,
to myself?
I honestly like avoid going to the store with my children at all costs.
I'm going
like,
to
I would rather go at 10 p.m. at night by myself, or like, I don't even know, like run in and out for 4 minutes before the bus gets here than have to take more than one child at the store. Truly. I've gotten to a point I can't.
I can do it most times, but there are times where like, man, the stars align and like they, it's just all undone and like we just can't get through it. And
yeah, it can be so hard.
I'm literally just at my wit's end by the end of it. And I feel horrible and bad. And yeah, I'm like apologizing.
Of course.
Mom guilt. Okay. So that was my hit. Freaking Target.
Your miss.
Love you, hate you.
I know. Love you, hate you. For sure.
Anyway. All right, guys. Well, probably the most random episode. Well, not the most
random.
Well,
no, it was spine-chilling episode.
It was. We hope you all have a really happy Halloween. We will be back next Monday with a fresh episode. Like we said, give us a follow a follow on social. We are at the Mom Voice Podcast. And subscribe to us and leave us a rating and review. Absolutely. Pass us on to your friends and help us get found. All right, guys.
Thanks for tuning in.
All right, we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.